You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Now, Annie Spooner is a owner of a cake-making business. She also happens to be living with retinitis pigmentosa, or RP for short, and she is joining us today to chat a little bit about her passion. It is great speaking with you, Annie.
Thank you so much for having me.
So when did you realise that you were passionate about baking?
Oh God, I think it probably started as a child. Both of my nans used to do a lot of cake making. My nan on my mum's side actually was a cake maker back in the day. And my nan on my dad's side, I used to see more of because she lived closer to me. And when I used to go to hers, we always used to make cupcakes together and I'd eat all the icing as most kids do. And as I grew up, I continued on with the things that I learned from my nan, so just cupcakes and things like that. Usually it would just be, you know, as a treat or for Christmas or something like that. But during COVID, I obviously, as we all did, we were all stuck at home with not much to do and all the baking supplies would run out, so I'm guessing most people can relate to this, but I kind of started baking a little bit more then, doing things like brownies. I was doing apple crumble, you know, cupcakes, things like that. And as the restrictions eased up and we could start visiting people, I made a cake for myself, a fondant cake. That sounds ridiculous, but you know, I wanted one, so that was what I did. We took it to my now husband's mum, and we all kind of shared it out, and they were raving about this cake. And yeah, and then from there, I kind of just started getting requests from family for various cakes. And I think the more I did, the more the passion grew. At the time, I was actually working as a junior designer for a company nearby. So I've always kind of been quite creative, and I've enjoyed the creative side of cakes probably the most, I would say, as well as obviously eating them, of course. Started officially in May 2022. It was the year I had my first daughter. Started sharing my cakes on my design page. And then people started messaging me going, oh, are you doing cakes now then? And it was literally just kind of evolved from there, really. And then ended up registering, like coming up with a name and then registering the business and, you know, and then getting insurance and all those kind of things. And it just, yeah, it kind of grew into a business from there, really. Combining my passion of design and colours and that kind of thing, mixed with the passion of just kind of delicious tasting food and sweet things. I think kind of putting those both together is how my business is formed, really.
It sounds amazing. And as I mentioned already in the introduction, you live with retinitis pigmentosa. How long have you had the diagnosis?
I was diagnosed with RP in 2018, so actually not that long, about 7 years, and I was 25 then. I'll be 32 in a couple of weeks' time. That was a bit of a shocker as well, actually, because that came about just because I went to a normal eye test at Specsavers to see if I needed some glasses. Came out with RP, so even better. It was a bit of a whirlwind, to be honest. It came about because they saw some pigmentation, I think, when taking photos of my eyes during the test, and then they did a visual field test. And was obviously like, you know, I guess thinking something's not quite right here because I wasn't clicking the button and I just thought they hadn't started the test. I was referred to hospital from there. I think it was about a 6 month wait or so. And then found out I had RP. But it was interesting because in the meantime, I'd never heard of RP or anything. And I forced it out of Specsavers, really, what they thought it could possibly be, so that I could prepare myself. And then it was odd because once I kind of found out what RP was, it was like all of a sudden I noticed all this, like, because I'm missing my mid periphery mainly. And it was only really after kind of being told about it that I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't notice that I'm actually missing all this vision. And then it sort of all clicked and all made sense all of a sudden. It was really bizarre.
Once you received your diagnosis, Annie, I know it's something that kind of maybe took you by surprise, but you seem to embrace it quite quickly. And you mentioned that you started your own support group, but have you reached out for any support to any charities or...
Yeah, so, well, the RNIB, to be honest, is the one that I've reached out to the most for advice on different things. And I did have contact with my local council, who came out to do like a home assessment and to talk to me about potential cane training and that kind of thing. I think that it's a difficult one because whilst I do embrace it and I think I'm quite positive and I can adjust quite easily and that kind of thing, but I think actually probably deep down, this has been like really open and honest, I probably do have a little bit of like probably a bit of denial still, and I'm working on myself really overcoming certain barriers, like for example cane training. I'm sure everybody kind of goes through this, but it's quite daunting, obviously, to kind of go in to have a completely regular eye test and then come out and then within 6 months find out that, you know, I'm not gonna be able to drive anymore and that this condition's gonna get worse and that kind of thing. So but to be honest, talking to other people, like either via the support group that I did or even just phoning the RNIB have been absolutely amazing. I honestly can't rave about them enough. Like, I think that any kind of information that you need, even like with things like access to work, because I don't drive, I can't deliver cakes. So that was something that I explored as well. And they really have been an amazing support to me. I think it's something that I'm going to always continue to deal with. I don't think it's ever anything that you're kind of just like over it. But having those kind of supports in place are incredible. And I'm quite lucky because I have a really supportive husband. He actually used to be a carer for people with various difficulties, but some of which were sight loss. So I think he's quite understanding, which is a bonus for me. Those are the main kind of sources that I use for support.
And what did you do once you had this diagnosis? You seem like a very organized person, someone who really wants to get solutions. So did you make adaptations to your kitchen to continue your passion for baking?
I mean, to be honest, the very first thing that I did kind of after digesting the diagnosis and losing my license and things like that, I actually made a support group for people with sight loss because I wanted to reach out to people because I didn't really know anybody else that had it. So yeah, I made a sight loss group actually at the time. I called it Sight Social. And then I met quite a lot of other people that had eye conditions. So that was actually the first thing that I did. But in terms of baking, really, in terms of like adaptations, my main issues really are because of the fact I'm missing my mid periphery. I'm really like accident prone. So probably to people that didn't know about my condition, they would think I'm like ridiculously clumsy because I knock things off the side. I'm really prone to burning myself as well. So I have to get my husband really to do the oven side of it, like getting stuff in and out of the oven. And I just have to be really careful, really, is my main issue. I can't kind of leave glasses and things on the side because they're just like a danger zone. I will end up knocking them off and they're going to smash. So things like that, I've kind of, in terms of adaptations, it's more me learning to adapt to my own eyesight, I think, more so than kind of equipment wise, if that makes sense. So it's more adapting to the fact that, yeah, I can't kind of leave things like lying around. I can't leave cupboard doors open because I'll end up headbutting them. Cakes are quite, I mean, I'm lucky because I have my central vision, so I can see what I'm doing. But my issue with cakes in particular is damage to them because I work a lot with buttercream. And when I'm decorating cakes, they're quite soft at first before they go in the fridge. So any kind of like bump or knock or anything like that, it damages it. And I cannot tell you how many times I've been holding like a spatula or something and I've turned to do something. And because I then turn and I can't see the cake, I don't realize that I'm really close to it. And then I'll like hit it with something or it just breaks or like I have to redo all the piping on it. Oh, it's infuriating in some senses, but also it's something that I've just got used to.
And as someone who is doing this for a living now, what would you say is the most popular flavor you see ordered?
So it's interesting because the most popular flavour is probably vanilla, like a classic vanilla cake, strawberry jam, vanilla buttercream. But previously I've done a few stalls and things like that. And I did vanilla cakes because I thought, you know, everybody orders them. Weirdly, they at a stall are always the one that's left over. So it's really interesting. I think that vanilla is probably the most popular flavour because generally it's the most I don't know what the right word is, like inoffensive maybe. It's like the flavour that everybody kind of likes. So I think it's like the safest, perhaps is a better word of putting it, the safest flavour for parties and things. So that's the most popular. But in my opinion, my best flavour is chocolate by far. And I'm not just saying it because I'm a chocoholic. I do think it's the most delicious. So I think that vanilla's probably number one, very closely, I would say, followed by chocolate.
I love chocolate. Chocolate and peanut butter, and I could just shovel the whole cake in one go. What would you say is the craziest cake, like, creation you've ever made?
Oh, I don't know, really. I mean, I'm not sure whether I would deem it crazy, but I did go a little bit overboard for my daughter's first birthday cake, actually. When I was pregnant, I watched Encanto, the Disney film, and I obviously must have watched it a lot because it was like she recognised the music when she was born. So I always kind of knew that I was going to do an Encanto cake for her first birthday. And anyway, that birthday came and I just really went overboard. This cake was, I did a 10 inch and an 8 inch two-tier fondant covered cake, and I basically made it to be the house from Encanto. So it had trees with flowers and vines going all over it, had like a balcony with one of the characters, had like the front door with Mirabelle, which is the main character, had like a roof on it, and oh God, I went wild. There was so much detail on this cake, to the point where there was that much I actually couldn't carry the cake because it was that heavy. So actually, it took two people to carry it over to my daughter just for her to blow out these cakes. This sounds like the most spoiled child, I've just realised. But it's her first birthday, and you kind of got to go all out for a first.
Were you heartbroken having to cut it open?
Oh no, not at all. I couldn't wait to eat it. The bottom tier, I think I did chocolate, and the top tier, I did salty caramel. And we had so many people around, like lots of family and stuff, and it was over a whole weekend. So there was so much to go around. And no, I mean, I suppose the whole cutting into something that I've spent so long to decorate, I feel like that heartbreak has gone because I'm used to it now. So now I'm just like, I can't wait to eat this cake.
So aside from, coming out of the womb singing, "We Don't Talk About Bruno," is your daughter or both of your kids actually, are they obsessed with baking? Just like, are you trying to introduce them?
Oh God, so my youngest hasn't yet been exposed to the beauties because she's only 7 months, but my oldest, she's 2.5, and she, yeah, do you know, in the last few months in particular, she's taken notice of cakes a lot. So, and now that I'm back to work from maternity leave, it's even more so. So she, but the thing is, she thinks a cake is just the buttercream. So she'll be going, cake, cake, but she doesn't want the actual cake. She just wants the buttercream. So she's always wanting to eat it, but obviously I have to kind of limit how much she has. But she has been baking with me a little bit. We baked some gingerbread biscuits for Santa, and then we left those out on Christmas Eve. So she helped me with that, and she absolutely loved like rolling it out, and I was teaching her how to do like the cookie cutters and that kind of stuff because I do other things as well as cakes. So yeah, I've been trying to do a little bit of baking with her as well, because I'm also hoping that give it a few years and she'll be like a little assistant. She can earn her pocket money by doing the washing up and things.
That would be amazing. So this is one of your passions, but what else do you do in your life to kind of bring you joy? I mean, I know you're a busy mom, but do you ever find time for a bit of like something for your well-being, for mom's well-being?
Yeah, well, to be honest, no. It sounds so crazy. I mean, my life honestly is a whirlwind of looking after the two little ones. I have a dog as well, so walking him, I suppose maybe that's how I get a bit of like a breathing space. But the thing is, it sounds like a cliche, but I absolutely love baking. So even when I'm not working, quote, I'm usually baking anyway because I just love it. That's kind of my release. I feel like if I'm stressed, I find it really therapeutic to like intricately decorate something and just. Yeah, I just love it. So even if I'm not working, usually, like if my husband takes them out, or something, and I've got like a very rare occasion where it's silent in the house, I'll either just be tinkering around, bake, like decorating a cupcake or something. Or my other thing actually is that I love to have a bath. I used to work at Lush, so I love bath bombs and bubbles and things like that. So yeah, if I'm not in the kitchen and he's out with the kids, I'm usually in the bath.
Oh, that sounds amazing. That's actually sounds like the dream job, isn't it? Doing something you're so passionate about.
Oh, 100%. I feel so thankful and lucky to be doing this. I really do. And I know that everybody says that when they have their own business, but I really mean it. Like, it's like a dream come true.
Well, Annie, what is your business called, and how do we follow you? Because I think you're on quite a few social media platforms.
Yes, so it's called Annie's Cake Creations. I've actually just launched a brand new website amongst my return to work this week. So it's called annie'scakecreations.co.uk. It should be quite easily found, but if not, I'm also on loads of social media, as you say. So if you just type in Annie's Cake Creations in Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, or even YouTube, I believe, you can find me on any of those. So yeah, I'm all over the place.
Brilliant. Well, I just have one final question. For someone who's maybe a beginner or is interested in kind of getting into baking, what would you say is maybe the most straightforward or easy recipe that you would recommend they start with?
Yeah, I would start with just like a plain vanilla, because it's very difficult to get it wrong. I would my tips for people that want to get into baking, what I did for myself, because I'm completely self-taught, is I went on YouTube and I just watched video after video after video after video of them baking, decorating, and like how to crumb coat a cake and how to do the outer sort of decorations, and then start with something easy. So like a vanilla cake, maybe you might want to practice a drip technique or something like that, but start easy and just absorb as much as you can from online, because yeah, that's literally where I got all of my knowledge from.
Well, Annie, from Annie's Cake Creations, thank you so much for speaking on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you ever so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.